student in northern Minnesota pulled off a sky-high marriage proposal by writing "Marry Me" in the snow and then flying his longtime girlfriend over his handiwork. Gavin Becker enlisted his family's help to pen the big question for Olivia Toft using a snowblower on the frozen Eight Crow Wing Lake. Took about 4.5 hours to carve the 25-foot-tall letters and a huge heart. She said yes. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia. We both own Kias and we love them. I personally am driving a brand new 2018 Kia Niro, the highest ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017, and I am impressed. My gas mileage is crazy good. It has an EPA rated 51 miles per gallon city. Redding Kia has 36 Niros in stock and on the way, and all come with a complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotations. Buy or lease a new Kia from Redding Kia and you'll never pay for an oil change for as long as you own your car. That saves a lot of money. And have you seen the new 2018 Kia Stinger GT? It packs 365 horsepower with the available twin-turbo six-cylinder. The performance is mind-blowing. No wonder Stinger is a finalist for the North American Car of the Year. This is the car everyone's talking about, so see the Stinger today at Redding Kia and be ready to drive it home. Great cars, big savings, America's best new car warranty. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Redding Kia, Cypress Avenue, reddingkia.com.
Hey music lovers, Nathan Parmalee here, talent buyer for the Reading Civic Auditorium. We have tons of incredible shows lined up with entertainment for everybody. Old Dominion is coming back to the Reading Civic on February 15th. The last show was a sellout. Then we'll have Broadway's A Night with Janis Joplin, followed by the rhythm sensation Stomp. In March, the cast of Dancing with the Stars Live will light up the Reading Civic. Plus, we'll hear music from the Ten Tenors, get dog whispering tips from Cesar Millan himself, spend the evening with the legendary Bonnie Raitt, and see Amazing Grace the musical tell the story of the famous song. Comedian Kathleen Madigan will bring her Boxed Wine and Bigfoot tour in April, and will kick off another great Reading Civic summer with country star Josh Turner and singing sensation Jackie Evancho. Get the best seats to these shows and more to come at ReadingCivic.com. 2017 was huge, and 2018 is going to be even bigger. Don't miss out on upcoming show announcements and pre-sale access. Sign up for our email notifications at ReadingCivic.com. And remember, tickets make great gifts, plus they're easy to wrap. See you soon at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul.
Good morning, Jefferson. Jefferson, I love the sound of that. Great song, great song. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Wynn. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Terry, and good morning, Wynn.
Good morning, Bob. Hey, we've gone full circle there. Well, we're doing another show here in Jefferson, and we're going to see what we've got on the docket here, so to speak. At some point, we'll be on the docket. But right now, we're just kind of moving along, doing everything we can behind the scenes and getting stuff done. And just patiently waiting for the ever-loving judge to make a decision. So, here we go.
Well, tomorrow night at 3276 Pacelli Lane at the Eagle's Nest Church, we will be having our Jefferson meeting at 5:30 as we do every week. We also will be having John Law coming in to speak Tactical. Anyway, he does CCWs, does all kinds of different awareness classes. He is a marvelous man, and John's going to be coming in to speak. We've known him for quite some time. We've heard him speak before on different issues about gun safety, different issues about being aware of what's around you. And also he does a lot of different classes on just about everything from beginners, CCW classes, all the way through advanced and even with law enforcement. Very interesting time we're going to have tomorrow night. Also, it's Mountain Tactical Training. That just came to my mind. Wynn showed it to me on his cell phone, and I can barely see that, even with my good eye. So anyway, that's what we have there. And Wynn, we've got some other events coming up.
We do. We have all kinds of events going on throughout Jefferson. And one we have going on here in Shasta County is a combined effort with Tehama and Shasta County, as we usually do. We are going to be having another call to action, if you will. It's the State of Jefferson 2018 Banquet and Fundraiser. It's Saturday, February 17th. excuse me. Let's see. Where am I here? Can't even read. My glasses are all fogged up, and I can't see out of them anyway. Okay. Well, anyway, tickets are $35 each, or for a pair of $60 for a pair, and we are selling tables right now. And for a table of eight, it's $500. And so, with that $500 includes eight dinners and $600 in raffle tickets for that particular table. Whoever buys the table gets those tickets. And so, what we're looking for is people who want to participate and have a good time with us. The dinner is going to be catered by Apple Jack's and includes a tri-tip chicken and tri-tip or chicken dinner with all the fixings. No host bar is provided by Anderson VFW. So it should be a good event. Last time we had one, it was wonderful. All kinds of people turned out, and all kinds of good stuff was going on. And we're hoping to do the same, if not better, this go around. So come check it out. Saturday, February 17th. And if you need to get a hold of somebody to buy tickets, get a hold of Chris Kellstrom at 526-2352. Again, 526-2352. Or myself, 917-5752. Or Patty Smith, if you're in Tehama County, you can get a hold of Patty at 586-2166. 586-2166. And then we have another event going on here coming up on, let's see. That's not it.
This is for the crab feed, yes?
Yes, for the crab feed. And I'm looking for the, there it is. There are so many lines all over this thing, I couldn't find it. It's on Friday the 19th. And so Saturday is already sold out because it's a two-day event, but Friday is not sold out. It's $50 per person. They have antipasto, bread, salad, chowder, and crab, all you can eat. And this year they're going to have cannelloni for $4 each. So there you go. Great raffle prizes, baskets. Grand prize is a flat-screen TV. Please call John or Cheryl at 605-1351, 605-1351, or you can get a hold of Frank at 247-3844, 247-3844 to get a hold of Frank. And that's going to be held at the Shasta Lodge. It's the Shasta Lodge Sons of Italy Crab and Clam Chowder Feed. And let's see, did I say where that was going to be held? I did not, and it doesn't say where it's going to be held. So get a hold of those folks and get their phone number. And like I said, you have their phone number. You can get a hold of them, and they can tell you exactly where it's going to be held. All right, on to the next topic.
And it's going to be held at the Lodge Hall, I hear.
Oh, it's going to be held at the Lodge Hall? Okay. That makes sense. It's the Shasta Lodge. All right, good.
Okay.
Next task.
It looks to me like the address of the Lodge Hall is missing, but just look up Shasta Lodge, and the phone numbers again to call would be 351-3456. That would be Paul or Jim Nobly, at 243-4127. What I want to know is how you can get that tri-tip chicken, because how would that be conceived? Maybe somebody can call in and give us a way how a tri-tip chicken.
Genetic modification.
It could be, huh?
Yeah.
It could be. I wonder if
you don't want to go there.
I wonder if you get eggs with that.
Well, it turns out probably like a, I don't know, T-Rex looking something like that.
I guess. Anyway.
Franken-chicken.
Franken-chicken. Yeah, there you go.
A lot of things are going to be happening here, and we should be getting a call in very shortly from our guest. This morning we're going to have the Libertarian gentleman who's running for governor, Nicholas Wildstar. He's going to be on our show here in just a minute or two. And he will be calling in, and he is the Libertarian candidate. We will eventually be having all the candidates that want to participate on our radio program, and also here in Reading, we'll have them at the
Patriot meeting.
Patriot meeting.
Good.
Now, the reason for that is that we want to see where they stand on a number of particular issues, and my biggest question is how do you fix the how do you fix the unfixable? I think that all these gentlemen that are running, you've got to give them kudos on that. They are putting their hat in the ring. They are standing up there, and I have talked to Nicholas in the past, and he has been always willing to answer questions. A lot of times when we get someone who is running for office, there seems to be a lot of pandering that goes on. There seems to be a lot of generalities. You know, I'm for lower taxes. Well, we're all for lower taxes. You know, I'm for I'm for getting these unfunded liabilities under control. Well, we're all for that. You know, how do you do those things? I think that's the questions we need to ask.
I'm for clean water.
Do we need to move on beyond the stating the obvious for them? You know, them stating the obvious that we all want. Okay, yeah, that's a given. That's a given. That's a given. What are you really going to do? You know, we want to get to the skeleton of the solution to fix things instead of just talking about all the flowery stuff on top. We don't want to talk about all that because, number one, if that other stuff doesn't count and will not count until you get that fixed. So, you know, for them stating the obvious, yeah, like you said, Bob, I want clean water. You know, well, hell, who doesn't? You know, I mean, you'd be crazy not to.
Anyway, we're gonna go off to our first break right now so that when Nicholas calls in, we have the time free to be able to chat with him. Anyway,
okay.
Time has come, folks.
Well, before we go off to that, just want to do a quick shout-out to James. He's heading off to a
work site.
Yes, he's heading off to a work site, and he's on the road, and we'll be on the road for a while, and we'll be out of range. So we just want to say, hey, James, thanks for listening while you're on the road. See you later, buddy.
One other thing, I do have that address for the Sons of Italy Lodge for the crab feed. It's 4850 Cedars Road here in Reading.
All right.
And the time has come.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times, they are changing. I'm writers and critics, you prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again, and don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are changing.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Many uninsured Californians don't know they can get financial help for health insurance. To find out if you qualify, visit coverca.com or call 800-300-1506 and keep listening to KCNR 1460. We will be talking to Adam Unger of Cover California on Thursday at 6 p.m. He'll be answering all your health insurance questions and discussing when and how you can register. For more information, visit coverca.com. Cover California. It's more than healthcare. It's life care.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Well, it ain't no use sitting and wonder why, baby, even you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, it'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on, but don't think twice, it's all right.
All righty, we're back.
Okay, and on the phone right now, we have the Libertarian candidate who's running for governor for the state of California, Nicholas Wildstar. Nicholas, how are you, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, I know you don't feel very well this morning. You got a touch of the flu, and Wynn has a bad back, and I've got a bad knee, so between the three of us, we make one whole person.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll be able to march through the day together then. Yeah, I'll be able to shake off this cold. Don't know what's going on with our country. This flu seems to be sweeping the nation right now and hitting California especially hard with us.
Absolutely.
Has lost nearly three dozen people due to this illness. So it's actually up, I believe, 30% from last year when there was only about eight or so deaths from the flu. So.
Wow.
I would think that the flu epidemic is more of a threat to our country than, you know, any terrorist group.
Anyway,
definitely
Nicholas,
terrorizing the nation.
Anyway, Nicholas, can you give us a little bit of background on yourself? Give us a quick little synopsis about yourself.
Absolutely. My name again is Nicholas Wildstar. I am the Libertarian candidate running for California governor in 2018. I did run for governor in 2014 as an independent. I landed about second from the last, and this time I'm hoping to land hopefully around second to first. Because, you know, with the Libertarian Party being the third largest party in the country, I'm hoping that more people will be attracted to vote Libertarian in 2018. But I am a husband to my wonderful and beautiful wife that I've been married to for nearly 6 years now. And, I am a man of God, indeed, a man of faith, and have been a 20-year working class professional, and have worked many customer service jobs, from a telemarketer to customer care department supervisor. So I'm one of those people that are involved with helping people in any way, shape, and form, and am definitely a representative of the working class American. I've also had a moderately successful career as an underground rap artist named Q-Ball. I have music on Pandora and Apple iTunes, all that good stuff. And I also have a movie in a song in the movie Scary Movie 4. And I'm also known as a well-known human rights activist and have organized with demonstrators to protest civil rights abuses throughout the state, police brutality, monopolization of press by mainstream media, etc. So I'm very active in the community and helping them deal with the issues that affects them the most.
Okay, great. We have four questions that we have that are pretty general, and then we'll get into some specifics. But the first question we have is, what is the proper role of government?
What is the proper role of government?
Yes.
To be that watchman protector that we seek them to be. Right now, they are more of an authoritarian and have more of an oppressive role on us as individuals, when really their only role is to protect our rights and freedoms and liberties. They're just supposed to be that that middleman protecting us from those that would like to harm us, whether they be of a foreign threat or a domestic threat. And pretty much, again, just be those enforcers of law to protect us from those people that would like to harm us, as well as be the moderator, or I guess, for any type of a legal dispute. We do enjoy the freedoms of our court justice system when it works in our favor, but due to commercial law, that's definitely been hijacked. But I just really feel like the role of government really is just to protect those who can't protect themselves, mainly.
Well, yeah, it's basically to reflect the will of the people and to keep government small and out of it. The second question we have is, as an elected official, you're required to take an oath to uphold and preserve the Constitution of the United States.
Yes, indeed.
When was the last time you took a serious look at the Constitution, and can you identify one or two areas where the Constitution is being violated today?
I have definitely taken a serious look at the Constitution, the United States Constitution. I've read through once thoroughly back in about 2010, thanks to Ron Paul. I was very involved in the Ron Paul Revolution when he ran for president, and was introduced to the Constitution by him after, I don't know how old I was at that time, maybe in my late mid-20s or so, but up until then I hadn't ever read the Constitution, being an American, so doing so definitely opened my eyes to a lot of freedoms and liberties that are definitely violated today. Of course, our First Amendment right to being able to express ourselves, being able to peacefully assemble, has definitely been violated, and I've personally experienced violation of my Fourth Amendment rights, me being secure in my person and property. And I definitely feel as if any sworn official that's taking that oath of honor is committing treason when they don't respect our constitutional rights, since they are making an oath to do exactly that, to protect those rights and liberties spoken of therein.
Well, I think that being a Ron Paul advocate, this next question, you kind of segued right into the next question I was going to ask you, and that
Excellent.
Is, what are your views about public debt, and what is your opinion on using debt, and how should it be extinguished?
Well, I would definitely like to reduce the amount of debt that we have this in the state of California dramatically, and especially end our dependency on the federal government. California has become more of a nanny state than anything. We provide the majority of the money that's being spent on welfare programs throughout the country. There's no reason why a person in Mississippi, where the cost of living is extremely low, and a person living off of $25,000 a year can live a exceptionally moderate life there, but yet still be eligible for food stamps. However, in the state of California, if that same individual is receiving $25,000, most likely they're living check to check and are having difficulty, you know, keeping their life sustained and above water. But for them to be able to be eligible for food stamps, but someone else across the country that's in a better condition to have that same access and receiving money from California taxpayers is definitely appalling. So I would definitely like to reduce the amount of money that is that taxpayers are spending and being used federally, and start using that money here in the state for those people in need. I really feel like that would definitely reduce the amount of unfunded liabilities, since it is hitting almost $1.5 trillion. And, of course, just strengthen the state of the economy for the state of California. I would love to have competing currencies in the state and allow the people to be able to go and buy their groceries or their gas, not only using the Federal Reserve note, but maybe using a California dollar or a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, any other type of monetary or any other type of money system that could be used other than the fiat currency that we're using. So my goal is to audit the state's finances once I'm elected into office, and this would be completely independent outside of the government. That way we can there won't be any bias in it at all. And once those numbers come back to me, then we'll know where we can roll back the clock, cut those taxes, reduce that debt, and hopefully get a surplus going in the state of California again.
Okay, when you said audit, are you going to do a forensic audit on all departments?
Absolutely. Every government agency. There's over 300-plus regulatory agencies in the state of California. That not only includes...
There are over 573.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, you know, another
climbing or what?
Yeah. Well, here's another question. You see, because I'm trying to get some sort of balance on this. California, and these are not my statistics; these are real statistics from the state of California, from the United States government. These are real statistics. You just talked about helping people who are in need. Well, we're first in the number of welfare recipients. We have a third of all welfare recipients in the United States. Or they come from the state of California. We're first in the number of food stamps recipients. We're a sanctuary state, which means our money is being spent on at least 5.6 million illegal aliens that come into our country. They get everything from food stamps to driver's licenses to medical help to dental help to legal help. They get all this different stuff. So I'm trying to figure out how the statement that you made correlates in the fact that you're trying to reduce unfunded liabilities, mm-hmm. which I know just for the city I live in over the next 30 years is almost $600 million. So I'm trying to figure out how it seems to me that I don't know how you can spend money that you don't have. In California being broke, again, this is what we are we have the highest poverty rate in the United States. I don't see how, and with the highest unfunded state pensions, I don't see how you can have, on the one hand, we're going to reduce this and save taxes. On the other hand, it's going to take taxes to do the things you want to do. So maybe you can give me a short explanation on how that oxymoron works.
Absolutely. Well, the oxymoron is the cutting of taxes along with the cutting in spending. What we have right now is a cutting in taxes, supposedly, but more increased government spending, wasteful spending at that. Just look at the California high-speed rail, which has wasted, over $1.2 billion worth of taxpayers' dollars. You have the UC president, Jenny Napolitano, who squandered away $200 million into the ether of public funds. You have so many government officials receiving six-figure salaries, like dentists at, these prisons earning $800,000 in salary. That's just ridiculous. So our money is more so being wastefully spent opposed to being used on helping those in need. And with regards to our welfare, the number of people that are on welfare in the state of California, yes, it did go up slightly over the past few years. And I believe it's a little over 4 million at this time, but we have over 40 million people in the state of California. So it's a small, significant few that is actually receiving those funds. But with regards to the illegal immigrants, they're unable to get any type of welfare benefits whatsoever. They would only be eligible if they were to have a child in the state or in the country or whatever. But according to Article 1, Section 20 of the California State Constitution, it says that any non-citizen has the same right, property rights as citizens. So we should not be neglecting them their constitutional rights as people. These are just people here trying to make a better life for themselves, just as all of our ancestors did when they came to this country seeking a better life. I'm African American, and I haven't really done any thorough investigation into my roots, but from what I know, My family was a group of settlers that came here from Canada. So if all of us are transplants from another place, another time, then we need to respect each another's human right to be here, to occupy this land. And majority of the people that come to the state of California, that come to America altogether, are seeking a better life for themselves. That's always been an attraction, and we need to greaten that attraction by creating more job opportunities for those people as well as American citizens.
Well, how about people that came in legally? How about those people that went through the, jumped through the hoops, came through legally? And honestly, no, that's not quite accurate. We have 5.6 million people that are here illegally, and at least half of those, according to the state of California, at least half of those are receiving some sort of benefit. Now, you're saying they may not be receiving welfare, but they still get free medical. They still get free dental. They still get free access to anyone if they get called on the carpet for being illegal. Because of SB 54, they're in a position to where they get legal help at our expense. That's just not true. The real deal is I have been to Los Angeles. I've been walking the streets. I've gone down there and walked the streets and seen what's gone on. As far as welfare goes, if we have a third of all the welfare recipients in the United States of America, and there are millions and millions, and also when you look at a situation where you're saying, okay, well, having the highest poverty rate here, obviously that has to do with the fact that people aren't working or they're taking a handout from the government. But, you know, the real deal is that I think that people need a hand up, not a hand out. And I haven't heard that yet. How do we help them? How do we help people who are here legally, not illegally, because that's breaking the law? And one last thing is just to prove that point. When Mr. De Leon, who was the Senate pro tem, who's now running for senator, when Mr. De Leon made the comment that, well, yeah, half my family doesn't have legal driver's licenses, and half of my family is using Social Security numbers that are not theirs. And by the way, if you have a Social Security number, what happens? You get welfare, okay? So really and truly, that's just not true. What happens is that him making that statement and also backing it up with the point, well, you know, how else could the children, how could they stay in the country? How could the people stay in the country if they didn't do these illegal things? Do we have a caller on the line?
That was Round Mountain Bob. He just wanted to pass along a question to ask our guest, and you kind of hit on it a couple of minutes ago, but he was specifically asking what about the free schooling that illegals are getting in California?
We pay for that with tax money, tax dollars.
Yes, and these all need to be reduced with regards to the amount of tax money that's being spent on them. I'm proposing to do so by the amount of 25%, cut 25% of taxpayers' money being spent on these programs, and then open it up to free market solutions.
Well, that's a good point, but we're going to have to take a break. But one last thing maybe to consider, and that is as we have a situation, like you're saying, that we reduce taxes, well, who's going to pay for all this stuff? If we're reducing taxes, we're increasing, and not only that, but what part about illegal alien is missing here? So if somebody does something illegal, that's breaking the law. So in essence, and by the way, we want to get into the sanctuary state a bit when we get back. But thank you, Nicholas. Hold on here through the break, sir, and we'll get right back to you. We're going to take a quick break here to satisfy that situation. And when time has come
for 51.
Knock, knock. Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, January 19th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The new year is upon us, and it provides us all opportunities for a new beginning. Whether you are a Christian who, for whatever reason, is not currently attending a church, and yet know that there is something missing in your life, or someone who is not a follower of Jesus Christ, yet want to know more about God and why Christians are willing to live and die for their faith. There is a valid and eternal reason, and it's worth the effort to discover. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at trueliferedding.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
It's all right. It's going to be all right. All right, so we're back at it. We have our guest, Nicholas Wildstar, on with us. And we're going through some questions and answers here and have some good dialogue, just finding out
what he has to offer as a newly elected governor when that time comes. So we just want to see what he has to offer. Nicholas, you're still there?
I certainly am.
Okay, great. Now, quick question. When I asked you earlier about a forensic audit of everything, I want everything audited, you know, as a sovereign citizen of California, as a taxpayer, and I'm sure there are a great many other folks out there that want the same kind of thing. We want to find out what's really going on. And with that, you know, having forensic audits done by agencies that are not from California, because then we would be safer with that way so that California can't do its thing and buy them off. Currently, we have the state of California, state of California has 10 CPAs going through auditing the budget right now, and they can't figure it out. So what's going to be any different?
Well, like you said, these CPAs, are they part of the California auditory board?
Well, I think that what Wynn was trying to say is it's not that they're saying yes or no. They can't figure it out. I do know that it's a bipartisan position, so I would think it's an outside. We got this information originally from Jim Nielsen, who's a senator out of the Woodland and that area there. And what they're having a difficult time tracking down all the money, tracking down all the situations where money's being spent, being lost. And as you know, what was it that Brown found the other day? They found what, $4.1 billion or something? He just lost it. You know, I can see losing a couple bucks in the washing machine, but I mean, you know, when you're talking about billions, and just to give you a quick thing on when it comes to money, because a lot of people, when you talk about billion or trillion, it's hard to wrap your head around. But if you use that, say, measuring it with seconds, a million seconds would be 11 days. A billion seconds with a B would be 32 years. A trillion seconds with a T would be 32,000 years. Anyway, so how would you get an accurate answer out of CPAs, as Wynn asked?
And that's what I'm saying, is I believe that these are still foxes being put in charge to look over the hen house. I think we need to get a completely outside source. I forgot the other host's name, but he was saying Wynn. All right. So he was saying a state or an auditing source from outside of the state would be best, or any other kind of independent auditor. That's what I'm proposing, not the state auditor at all. And that's how we'll be able to get down to the actual numbers. That's how we'll be able to see where our tax dollars have been going, where it's been wastefully spent, and hopefully expose the Federal Reserve of the state for its fraudulent activity and be able to kick them out and ban them from ever being able to conduct business here whatsoever. So that is one of the goals. More so, but as you were saying before, with the loss of the $4.1 billion that just disappeared, where did it go? And if it's our money, again, if we're delegating the responsibility of the government to help those in need of our community, why isn't it being held with those people? As you mentioned, you went to L.A. and you saw the homeless people down on Skid Row. I happen to live in Orange County, where I'm next to the riverbed. And every time I drive past the Angel Stadium, I just keep seeing more and more tents popping up. There's an estimated over 4,700 people, 4,700 people plus in the riverbed. And that's mainly due to the Anaheim City Board of Supervisors, who squandered away over $20 million of taxpayers' money that was supposedly being spent to help those people. So here again, we have more examples of fraudulent activity by those sworn officials that we've delegated responsibilities to help us. And they need to be held accountable. That's really what's missing and what is the problem of the state of California. The reason why people like yourself feel as if the state isn't in a fixable situation is because of those corrupt individuals such as those. So it isn't able to be fixed as long as we continue to rely on them to actually do their job. And that's why me coming in as a third-party candidate, not beholden to any Republican or Democratic special interest groups or union groups, et cetera, that support those candidates. I'd be a representative of you. I'd live with you. I'd live like you, and I will continue to, even when I have the job. I'm also proposing that the governor's income be reduced to a little under $100,000.
Nicholas,
I'll do the job
Nicholas,
for $99,000.
Yeah, Nicholas, we kind of want to get to some other questions. That,
I apologize.
We have the most restrictive gun laws in the United States, and ammunition laws that are insane. Now, if you want to buy 22s, you've got to register 22 shells to go plinking with your kid. What's your stand on the Second Amendment?
I don't think there should be any other variations to the Second Amendment other than what it says. These rights shall not be infringed, period. And it needs to stay a period, not a dot, 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 not an addition to, et cetera. I was actually speaking to some people about the Second Amendment at an NRA group, and I think it's crazy because we're in a point in time in our life where our government is experimenting with futuristic weapons like laser guns. Would you want any of these people to have lasers and you not being able to protect yourself against them? Of course you would. Right now, you're able to print 3D guns. Do you want that added as an addition into you being told that you cannot print a 3D gun? So there's ways that those people, gun lobbyists, will want to prevent us from protecting ourselves and having to register our property. But that's all it is property, whether it be a gun or a car or your TV. It's yours. You shouldn't have to register with the state at all.
Now,
so,
you just mentioned the gun lobbyists are wanting to prevent us from doing anything. The gun lobbyists want to protect us. They want us to be able to have the guns. They want us to be able to have the ammo. They want us to be able to comply and have the Second Amendment, like you just mentioned ago, Second Amendment, period. Nothing.
I apologize. I misstated. I mean anti-gun lobbyists.
Okay. The other thing is that the name of the show is Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. Kind of did that on purpose so that it would be showing, you know, it's our state, mine, that kind of thing. And we like the fact that when the press talks to us, they always say mind because they can't get the word straight.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the reason, the thing is that, you know, there are many, 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 many people, including some of your people that are running for office, that understand that California is just unfixable. It's, you can't fix something that's completely broken. There is no fixing the pensions. There's none of that. As we spoke, there probably was 20 policemen that retired, you know, just as we spoke on this program. You're running for the governor of the state of California, yet you have gone to different Jefferson meetings talking about how you believe in Jefferson. Well, if you're the governor of one state, what would be your thought process in helping us with our state?
Well, of course, as governor of California, since Jefferson State is still part of California, respectively, what I would like to do is honor the request of the people of Jefferson. They want to reduce the amount of regulatory agencies that are preventing them from having their businesses be expanded. I definitely would do exactly that.
Natural resources. That's where we've been regulated out of all the natural resources. As you know, all wealth comes from the ground. I mean,
absolutely. And they've been preventing that and letting companies like Nestle come in and siphon off 100 million gallons plus worth of fresh water and turn around and bottle it and sell it right back to us. So that definitely should not be acceptable at all. And as governor, I would not allow that anymore.
How can you do that without the legislative body doing what you want them to do? See, that's the other thing, too. Do you know what your jurisdiction is as governor? And in just a couple sentences, could you tell us what your jurisdiction is and what power you actually have to where you can override the legislative body of the state of California?
Absolutely. When it comes to the legislative body, I just have pretty much that lobbying power since they are elected officials just like me. So I'll be able to call them out on actually doing the job that voters hired them to do. Also, I'd be able to appoint or make appointees for these regulatory agencies. I'll leave them vacant if need be. And after a review, of these regulatory agencies. Hopefully I'll be able to reform them all together and reduce that obscene 500 now plus agencies to something more reasonable. Our government is too big, it's too out of control, and it's too controlling. And the goal for me as a libertarian is to reduce the size of government dramatically, make it more efficient, make it less intrusive, and allow people to live their lives happily without having to worry about government being involved in it at all. So,
how about bringing the count of government agencies down to maybe 40, maybe 50 at the most, versus the 573 that it currently stands at? That would be a huge benefit and cost savings to the entire state. And
I agree,
removing all the redundancy that California has put into place. A truly cleaning house is cleaning house. If you're going to go from 573 down to, say, maybe 45 or 50, there are many states that operate with that many or fewer state agencies. And California is no different. It's just larger, but it's no different. It could do
and
the same
I
thing.
I completely agree with you. I believe the state of California could run more efficiently on the smaller government. And once I do so, people don't like it. For the 4 years that I'm in office, once I leave, you're welcome to elect another Republican or Democrat that will build up those regulatory agencies again. But I would like for California to at least experience a short period of time for the 4 years that I'm in office to truly see freedom in effect, to truly have that experience of liberty that the founders of our country wanted.
Well, the liberty position that you're talking about does have to do with the fact that we need representation. There is a confusion with some people thinking that more representation is bigger government. No, more representation is more representation. So how would you change California to maybe hit the benchmark of most states? And that would be, if we hit the benchmark, which maybe would be 30,000 people, for every representative, if we're hitting that benchmark, we're looking at what, 12,000 guys in the assembly. I mean, whole point is that how do you plan on giving representation to the people, and what's your plan on that? How do you do that without taking the state and reducing the size of government and increasing the size of representation? How would you do that?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing is I would let Everett Jeffersonian know that as governor, you would have my ear, you would have my voice, and I would be speaking publicly about these things. As me being the first libertarian governor of California, not to mention the first black governor of California, I assure you we would have national attention on the state of California, if not worldwide, in which case I'm now able to express openly about what's going on with the state of Jefferson, your legal battle with the courts, and as well as the lack of representation. It definitely needs to be reformed altogether. I just watched Mark Baer's Road to Representation and the quote about, that he said, he quoted Washington saying that one for 30,000 is democracy and one for 40,000 is tyranny. That makes complete sense. And with our growing population, we need to have more representation, especially on the local level. So it would be a matter of reform and reforming, and if it's not able to be accomplished through legislative attempts, I do have power as governor of California to execute an executive order.
And how much juice does that really hold? And can they take you to court on that?
If they do, then so be it. But I still would do such a thing and honor Jefferson State's Article 4, Section 3 request. So at which point, the deed is done, and now they'll just have to deal with it. I plan on being a very hardcore governor, not against the people, but against the people that we've put in charge to help us. The government needs to be put back into the small box that it should have been contained in. And now that it's out of Pandora's box, we can see how troublesome it has been. So, again, if need be, I would execute an executive order and on Capitol Hill would announce such a thing. And we need to definitely return to the rule of law instead of this rule by law theory, where we're guilty before proven innocent. We're still individuals here. We're still Americans, and we need to have our sovereignty as people respected.
That's well put.
With our government in general, it doesn't respect us as people. It looks as a, it looks at us, its citizenry, as its property.
Well, the thing that's happened, really, the bottom line is that we created the government, and now the creation is taking over the creator. But we've got about
right,
10 seconds here, and I want to thank you, Nicholas Wildstar, running for governor for the state of California on the Libertarian ticket. Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you very much for coming on with
and
us.
And have a great day, and folks, time has come.
For 51.
Hey, CA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill that we have to pay?
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Missile attack alarm on Saturday.
Some people abandoned their cars on the highway. Others gathered in their homes. Hotels herded guests to basements to wait for what seemed like the inevitable, a missile blast. Instead, word came it was a false alarm and an apology from Governor David Ige.
I'm too very angry and disappointed that this happened.